Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here, and it's always a beautiful thing when we hit Saturday here on the West Coast. You guys, you lucky, lucky folks there out east, or back east, as we used to call it, you know, you guys get Saturday earlier than everybody in the USA. So,
what do you call back east?
Back east is what the old folks called it, man. Back, we see everybody used to come out west from back east, you know.
What do they call now?
I don't know, man. They may say back east. I think it's a term, it's a phrase that's losing its currency out west here. I don't hear it that much anymore. Some people say I went to New York. Some people say I'm going to the East Coast. If people originate from the East and they live out here in the West, a lot of you'll still probably hear younger people say that. I'm trying to think now. My friend Barry Louise is from D.C. and when she comes out here to the West Coast, she'll say, a lot of times she'll say, you know, back home or back in D.C. But that's, I think, wouldn't that be what you would say, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I come from California. I'd be in China, you know.
Well, you got to be in China.
I mean, I'm just saying, if I was in China, I would say, yeah, when I go back to L.A.
Well, you know, yeah. Yeah, you would. Or you'd say back to the States, you know.
What's that mean? Yeah, what's that?
That's what you say. You say back to the States. That's what Americans say. When Americans live overseas or they live abroad or traveling abroad, and that means in another country, bud, not traveling on abroad, you guys, oh, man.
Well, this stuff I don't know.
You know, but you're almost 20, man. It's stuff you ought to know. Americans will often say, when I go back home, when I go back to the States, when I go back to the States, you never hear an American refer to America as America. You never hear an American refer to the U.S. as America. I just did there as because it was sort of a redundancy that I fell into. But
so we like to say if I was in France, let's say. But where would you ever be there?
Well, Sam, well, you would be in China. Same thing.
Not really, because my economics and everything.
Yeah, hey, bud. But, you know, Robert's family's got more money than your family. What are you talking about?
Well, I just assume because, and I don't mean no racial anything, but you're black.
That don't mean I'm poorer than you, man.
Well, okay, then how come black people always talk about being poor? You know,
man, you know, somebody really ought to smack you. All right, hey, I'm telling you, you know, I'm going to make good on my threat, which is to burn this studio down with you guys in it, and then I'll go off and I will fulfill my dream of becoming just a bait salesman somewhere in Fiji or the Grenadines or something, okay?
Yeah, but are you really going to do that?
You got enough money to do that? How much money do you need, man, to become a bait salesman in the Grenadines? How much money do you need to buy land? Do you understand? I could go to the Grenadines right now and become a citizen. And you understand that in the Grenadines, there's a law. If you find any land that nobody owns, you can sit your ass right on top of it and own it.
You could do that in America.
No, you cannot, because just about... What unclaimed land is there in America?
I don't know, man, but if there's... what are you talking about?
I'm telling you that... Let me give you... Well, I want to get back to this whole stupid, ridiculous, jackass, jive-ass, bullcrap thing that you guys were talking about, which is China and abroad and all that stuff, okay? I don't know how we got into it, but in any event, that's what Americans... That's how we talk, okay? So when you say back east, all that stuff.
I don't.
It's an old term that when I say the old folks, like my folks' generation, because a lot of them came out to California after World War II. A lot of them came out here, man. What do you want me to tell you? And a lot of them from the east would say back east. Just like I told you, my old man used to say, I'm going down to the corner for something.
Yeah, that's because he thought there was a corner down there. Yeah, your dad, was he senile or something?
No, he wasn't senile. It was just a term they use. I'm going down to the corner meant I'm going to the store. But where he grew up in Toronto, Canada, and it was the same if you grew up in New York, it's the same if you grew up in Boston, any big eastern city, there were stores at the end of the block. And you would go down to the corner to get what you wanted to get. So you would go down to the corner to get, you know.
But like that time you told me you sell beer in buckets, right?
Yeah. I mean, my father and my ex-father-in-law told me that as a kid, he used to go down to the corner because his parents were Germans, and they were from Germany. They spoke German, and his first language was German.
So he's German?
No, he's not German. No.
Well,
he was born in the States.
Was he like illegal?
No, he wasn't illegal. He was born in the States, and his first language was German. That's what they spoke in the house. Okay? And then he grew up and he learned English, and
that's why a lot of people in Chicago talk with that funny accent.
Yeah, sure, that's it. All you folks in Chicago, the reason why you talk funny, which you don't, but, you know, according to these guys, is because you probably spoke German at one time and you didn't even know it. All right, enough of that bullcrap, man. Welcome back to the program here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. This is our News and Information Hour. I've had a hell of a time, and I'm really, Squarespace, pull it together, will you, baby? You're a fantastic company, and I'm very happy that you help us with our website, but I can't get online to edit my own website for love or money unless I do it through the services of my iPhone. You know, Apple just keeps on making people look bad. They just keep right on making people look bad. Apple, by developing the wisdom of the founders of this company and the press, the ongoing press to be the very best, to continue to develop applications and to develop systems and to develop softwares to be the best and to make themselves the default go-to beautiful people of the world when it comes to access to the internet, computer devices, mobile devices, etc. Apple has kicked ass on everybody. I don't know if there's a success story equivalent to Apple in the history of this country. Maybe Ford, you know.
Talking about the car?
No, I'm talking about Ford the refrigerator. Yes, the car.
Don't you know about Ford?
Yeah. I mean, Sears? But even Sears can't even touch what the Apple has achieved in a very short time. I am able, rarely does this little device in my hand that I'm holding up on the screen in Phil TV and HD, rarely does this thing fail me. Rarely. My desktop, it's hit or miss, man. I got a Dell. It doesn't make, I got HP, I had Dell, I had Gateway. You know, one of the most reliable computer desktop I ever had was a Gateway. A lot of people laugh at that.
Gateway, man, that's cheap.
I don't care. Gateway, long time ago, probably too far back for a lot of people to remember. Well, you'd have to, like, if you were 14 years old right now, you probably don't remember Gateway. I think most people do. Gateway was a computer company that put on a major advertising push in the late 90s. And by God, they saw a hole, as they call it, in the marketplace. And what was that hole? And they finally exploited it. That computer users up to that time had been talking to each other, not talking to the rest of us who didn't know what the hell it was they were talking about. People that use computers, people that were online, people that were on, you know, things like Prodigy back in the day, and they were running and standing in line for their Windows 95, and they were all blah, 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 talking geek talk. The rest of the real world, the real people, you know, as Jack Nicholson said to Danny DeVito in, you know, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, these are the real people here. See these people here? These are the real people.
Yeah, I love that scene. These are real people.
Right. The real people were you and I, and we didn't know what these dorks were talking about. Gateway came along and said, well, we're going to start talking to those people because there's money to be made. And they said, here, we'll sell you a computer. It will be the easiest thing you ever. Here's what you need. You need a keyboard. Nobody knew how to put a keyboard, a computer in 1998. Yeah, sure, I know you had a son or a daughter or a, you know, whatever the hell you had, a friend who could come over and show you. And did they really show you? You know how it is. They're just, well, here's how you do this, here's how you do this. You didn't know anything about viruses, software, how to use that disk thing. You don't know anything. Along comes a company like Gateway, they say, you need a keyboard, you need to, you know, you need to have your little monitor there, you need your tower drive, here's where you put your disks, we'll sell it to you, we'll package the whole thing, they made it affordable, boom, 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 boom. It was one of the easiest purchasing experiences. You probably paid more than you had to, what the hell? The economy was good, everybody was flush, everybody was going online, and nobody, and I mean nobody, knew what the hell it was they were doing. What do you mean go online? What are you talking about? Nobody even explained. I'll never forget, and I say this with the greatest of respect, but I'll never forget Earthlink coming to me as a potential advertiser. I said, well, what the hell is Earthlink? What is it? What are you talking about, ISP? I've got to explain this to my listeners. Well, you know, Phil, it's that. No, I don't know, and neither do they. Neither do they. I don't care how many dorks you talk to during the day, how many of these jive-ass geeks you talk to who talk dork talk and understand all this stuff. The real people, the humanoids, the people that walk around and, you know, eat with two hands and use a fork and a knife and know how to wipe their chin, they don't know anything about this stuff. So tell me. Well, I got the answer. And how do I say this I got the answer, and the answer essentially taught me that I don't need Earthlink. The hell do I need them for? And remember AOL? Oh, my God. What a nightmare. There's people I know who still have AOL. You know, they'll go on AOL. What the hell for AOL? More bullcrap than ever before, man. You talk about too much BS. That was it. That was AOL. Big and clumsy and cumbersome. And then let's talk about dial-up. So there was a million things going on. And finally, you know, you start to figure it out. Well, all that stuff comes down to what I'm holding in my hand here, the old iPhone. And if you want smartphones, Samsung, they just lost a lawsuit. You know, Apple has kicked the hell out of all of them. And one of the reasons why I like this, and many people love their iPads and their Apple computers, is they're reliable. They do what you want them to do. There's no bull crap. There's no this. There's no that. A bunch of, here I am. I got an application that works on this. I can edit my website using my mobile. On my desktop, where everything is much bigger and much easier, no, I can't rely on that, man, because guess what? There's something wrong with whatever it is I'm using. What do I use on this?
You use Safari.
I use Safari as my internet access on my iPhone. Here, what do I got here? I got Mozilla. You suck. I got Internet Explorer. Sucks. I got Google Chrome. Sucks. I don't know how many times you guys need to hear it, and every time you come along and you're going to improve this and improve that, all you do is make it worse. That's all you do is make it worse. You make it bigger, and you make it more clumsy, and you make it slower, and it has a bunch of stuff nobody cares about, and you're kind of like what I'm getting on Twitter right now. You know, Twitter is beautiful. You got to love Twitter. Now they're at, do you want to advertise to grow your followers? I tell you what I'll do, Twitter. If I see any success, I'm always a guy that's, I kind of wait and see. I see some success stories on Twitter advertising, I'm all in, man, but I'm going to wait and see. I ain't going to be the first chump to give you money for advertising on Twitter, okay?
Well, it just about says it there, man. You're going to start losing followers and everything.
Yeah, I don't think so. All right, we'll be right back with more here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Recap of what happened there in Charlotte, North Carolina.
What was that?
The DNC, Jack. And other news, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth
Saturday.
Is our bitch. The Phil Dancing Henry Show. Song.
Here, the world famous Phil Henry Show, and I went off on a tangent there about the computers, and now I have to reboot this piece of crap.
What's going on, man?
Well, what's going on was, as I was saying to folks, I was attempting during one of the breaks when I had plenty of time to do it. I was attempting to do a little bit of editing on our website, philhenryshow.com. This is nothing that affects you guys. It's just I wanted to go and edit something, clean some things up, and.
Yeah, probably you want to link that article about the comments you made about the lawsuit.
Never mind about that, okay? I'll talk about that. Yes, my comments about the lawsuit were carried by the radio press. And by the way, my opinions have not changed about you guys in the radio press being real chickens. I mean, you talk about chicken crap. And I love, you know, you guys are nice guys. I love the comment, Phil Henry never won to be, Phil Henry always going his own way. What the hell? You know, I don't understand what that means. You mean I got a weird-sounding show? All right, I got a weird-sounding show. I don't do my show for you. I don't do my show for any of the suits. I don't do my show for any of you slobs. I do my show for me, number one, and for my listeners, number two. And like I said today on Twitter, I said, you know, if I listened to what you and what listeners said to me, I never would have created the radio show that I created in the first place. It never would have happened. It never would have happened. I have great respect for my listeners and for people, but if I listened to the consumer, this show never would have happened. If I listened to you jackasses, it never would have happened. Never one to, a guy had to go his own way. Are you kidding me? I got a constitutional right to say the things that I said. I got to do business with these people. I have to go out into the world and I got to make a living, all right? And when I'm associated with an entity that decides they're going to sue everybody and their brother, this side, that side, up one side and down the next, that affects me. And I don't care who they are and how big they think they are, you better believe I'm going to say something about it. And all of this stuff, you know, that people, well, you better watch about, you know, watch out about, Phil, the reverberations, you know, and the recruitment. Oh, there may be some, you think, what are you kidding? Are you kidding? You think I can't, you think that scare, that kind of stuff scares me? I would love it. I would love it. I'd love to see it. You talk about a lawsuit. You know, some people need to grow a thicker skin and they need to understand the world they live in. And there's some things you just cannot control in this world. There's some things that you just can't lord over people. And there's some things, my man, that you just don't get to, you don't get to run the table and rule the roost and run the board here. Other people got a couple of things to say about it, especially when you stumble and you trip and you fall all over yourself and you screw everything up six ways to sunset and everybody's supposed to sit on their hands and then watch you make some jackass move one after the next, and I can't say anything about it? Because why? Because you're some kind of new version of the Democratic fascist? My friend, I'm going to say a whole lot about it. And you clowns in the radio press, grow up, grow a pair, understand what it is you do, you criticize, and by that I mean critique. You understand, as Margaret Gray would say, critique. You critique an industry. They have it in theater, they have it in film, they have it in television, they have it in all the creative arts. Radio should be no different. You guys, however, are you take all the records for gutlessness. You don't want to comment any of that stuff. So when Phil Henry opens his mouth, oh, well, geez, what did he, well, look at this. You got to be kidding me. And if you think for one second that business as usual in radio is going to be the way it goes with me, no, it ain't, man, because I got into this. I work my ass off to do what I do. I bust my ass morning, noon, and night to try to do the very best radio show I can do. I learned a long time ago that that ain't enough in the radio business. To do a great radio show is not enough. It's not enough, because if the sons of bitches that are the managers and the programmers and the people that are running to, that are supposed to give you support are lazy as living hell and stupid to boot, brother, you can have the greatest radio show in the world, and we've had one of the great, my show's one of the best that's ever been heard on the air. One of the best that's ever been heard on the air. But if you haven't got anybody that can put 3 cents worth of brains together, forget it. And don't tell me that you don't know what I'm talking about, all you radio press. Every time I used to go to these things, I got guys coming up to me from every radio station, every call. Oh, yeah, Phil's great, Phil's great, Phil's great. Oh, you're so great, 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 great. Hey, Phil, would you keynote? Hey, Phil, would you speak at our seminar? Hey, Phil, would you do this? Hey, Phil, would you do that? You know, people, whoa, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, guess what, man? When the money's on the table, or when it comes time to put the money on the table, all those guys are gone. You know why? Because they're full of crap. Because they haven't got the guts or the brains to do what it takes to support a show like mine. So I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and I'd love it. I mean, I would love to see somebody try to pull some suit bullcrap with me. I mean, I would, you talk about let me just put it to you this way. I got lawyers too, man. I got some good ones. You want it? You want a little publicity? I can generate more publicity than you ever seen in your life. I'll bug at the banner headlines going. Don't screw with me. I'm not screwing with anybody. All I ask for is that people, you know, this is my show. Give me a hand. Help me out here. I need to talk about some things. That's all. I don't try to take food out of anybody's mouth. I don't try to keep anyone from making a living. I've never in my life tried to keep it. I've never held a dollar back from anybody, man. Ever. I've never sat there and got fat and stupid while people who depended upon me starved.
What about me?
Other than you, bud. And not you.
I didn't get paid for a while.
That's because you're an intern. Interns don't get paid. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Man, that was pretty good. Are you going to keep talking?
No, I am not going to keep talking about this. It's depressing the hell out of me. I'm going to go now get into some comedy. Hitler and how he took over the Sudetenland. When we come back, I'm joking. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show with more out of the news. Like, how about some Obama-Romney stuff? That's pretty funny. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show, and PhilHenryShow.com. Visit our website and, you know, dig it, you know.
Yeah, enjoy it, man.
Enjoy it. And we've got a lot of stuff happening at our website. Let's start with 4,500 hours of archived material of what is a radio show that we're very proud of, even the stuff we do. Now, you know, as I said earlier, you know, I'm not going to belabor the point, but, I mean, our radio show is evolving out of necessity. You know, as they say, mother being the... see, necessity being the mother
of what?
Of invention.
Yeah, mother's the necessity, or no?
Every time you guys take something I say.
No, you're right. No, in necessity, the mother of invention.
There you go. Necessity is the mother of invention. That being the case, our radio show is constantly evolving because we have to, and so we endeavor to evolve it. And we're just as proud of this radio show today as we were 22 years ago when we first started doing it. All right, now, in the great country of Pakistan, there is something afoot that may have some interest for our Western listeners. And if you're watching Phil TV in HD, I will move over to that story. There it is. Bail allowed for Christian girl accused of blasphemy in Pakistan. That's right. A Pakistani court granted bail on Friday to a Christian girl accused of blasphemy, a rare development of this Muslim-majority nation, where critics say such allegations are frequently concocted to persecute religious minorities and settle personal scores. When they call it a rare development, what they're saying is it is rare for, I guess, a Pakistani court to grant the bail.
Yeah, they're saying that it's not rare to accuse them of it.
Yeah, it's rare to grant bail.
Exactly, okay. So she actually got bail. Well, maybe what they're doing is they're recognizing that something's been concocted here, but I read on. Human rights advocates and a coalition of prominent Muslim clerics applauded the court's action while Pakistan's interior minister, Rahman Malik, all but pronounced the girl innocent. He said the accused never left her home on the day 3 weeks ago when a young man claimed that he saw her carrying burnt pages of the Quran in a trash bag in her village outside Islamabad. Under Pakistani law that forbids desecration of the Quran, the girl, said to be 14, could be sentenced to life in prison if convicted. Judge Muhammad Azan Khan set her bail at 1 million rupees, or that would be... How much do you think 1 million rupees is, bud?
Probably about... Like $1 million? Yeah, like $1 million.
No, $10,000.
What?
$10,000.
Wait a minute. How come it's... What? Yeah, what, they make $1 million. They probably make it $1 million, make it sound like it's a big deal.
No, that's the rate of exchange.
What's that?
When countries have a currency, and it is based upon their gold reserve, it's based upon their manufacturing... it's based upon a lot of things. When a country has a currency, then it has value. That currency has value. If you go to another country and you want to buy that other country's currency, let's say you're a Pakistani, okay, bud?
Well, can I be American? I'll be Pakistani.
Okay, Robert, thank you. Let's say that you go to America.
Is he coming to my store?
No, you're not in this anymore.
Why?
Because you didn't want to be a Pakistani.
Well, you know, I was going to not get to do anything.
You're going to sit and listen. Robert.
Yeah.
You're a Pakistani. You want to come to America.
Yeah.
So, you want to get American dollars, don't you?
I can't use no rupee.
Well, do you want to use 1 million rupees for something that's 10,000 bucks?
Well, what am I going to buy that's $10,000?
All right, let's say you want to buy something that's only 10 bucks. It's still going to be thousands.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right.
All right, so you want to buy some dollars. Well, How many rupees is that going to cost you?
It'll cost me a lot, I guess.
Exactly. It's going to cost you a lot because the rupee in relation to the dollar is not worth as much. So it's going to cost you a lot of rupees, but you need those dollars. So if you've got 1 million rupees and it's only going to get you $10,000, at some point, man, your rupees, you're going to have to get a whole hell of a lot of rupees to get $1 million, you know? So you probably are, if you're one of the wealthier people in Pakistan, you're probably dealing in dollars. You probably have already purchased those dollars while you live in the country. You may have gold. You may have, you know, you've got offshore accounts. You've got all kinds of stuff.
But if you're just a regular guy, but well, say you're a rich guy, but you don't have none of that.
See, I guess you're walking around with a lot of rupees in your pocket. That sounds kind of stupid to me. So this woman has been granted bail for that 1 million rupees, or if you will, the $10,500. It's a huge sum for most Pakistanis. And I got news for you there. What newspaper is this? Washington Post. I got news for you. 10 G's ain't exactly all that much of a drop in the bucket for most people, huh?
Yeah, that's true, man.
So if somebody's in jail and you know them, and they say, let's say one of you clowns get thrown in jail.
For blood, a $10,000 bail, I don't know what I've done.
I don't know, but let's say you need 10 grand.
Can you get us out?
Yeah, I can get you out. I can get my hands on $10,000. That's only because I'm wealthy. I'm kidding.
Yeah, well, you are.
No, I'm not. But I'm saying as an average, you know, I am an average American. I can get my hands on 10 G's to get somebody out of jail, okay? I think most Americans could in a pinch. We got credit cards. We got a lot of ways we can do this. And there are a lot of Americans that can't. And of course, that's, you know, this is going to sound really, this is a typically American problem. But the fact that the fact that there's any American alive that would not be able to get their hands on $10,000 if they really, really needed it, the fact that there's anybody out there in America that can't do that, that is, to me, that's a disgrace.
Are you kidding, man? Why?
Because I don't think that's a big load of dough, man. I think any American ought to be able to get their hands on 10 G's if they really need it. If you got to bail somebody out of jail, if it's a doctor bill that has come due, there ought to be a way that every single solitary American should have their access to $10,000. I'm not saying the government needs to give it to them. I'm saying the employment, I'm saying the rewards for working in this country should be commensurate with every American at least being worth 10 G's at any given moment. You know, that's not a lot of bread. But I know that that isn't the truth. I know that there's a lot of people that don't have that money.
Yeah, that's only on account of they drank it up and used the drugs.
Yeah. All right, I'll give it to you. There's a lot of people that got drug problems, a lot of people with booze problems. Those are people that, I'll tell you something right now. In this country, in the United States of America, the argument is over the following. It's not over whether somebody is a drug addict. It's not an argument over whether somebody's an alcoholic. The argument in this country is over the guy that can't get his hands on that $10,000. Why can't he? Forget about the drug addict and the alcoholic for a moment. On the liberal side of the equation, he can't get his hands on that $10,000 because as close as his hand may get to it, it keeps getting yanked away. And it keeps getting yanked away.
Yeah, that's that thing. Me too.
All right. The Republican version of that is that the $10,000 is sitting there, and that guy needs to push himself a little bit harder to grab it. Now, in a nutshell, I just gave you the difference between the two political parties, the two political forms of thought in this country.
What about a drug addict?
Now, when you take the drug addicts and the alcoholics, they fall into a category themselves, depending upon whether you are a Republican or a Democrat. For the Democrat, the alcoholic and the drug addict is the victim of a disease, and I happen to agree with that. However, the Republican also believes that the drug addict and the alcoholic is the victim of a disease. So now...
But wait. What? So there's no difference.
Wait. I didn't finish. So now the argument is about curing. Aha!
Oh, I see what you want to say.
Yeah, that they don't care about it?
Well. Republicans and Democrats used to argue about whether this was a disease. It was the ones, you know, some people believe. So now we know. Now we know that we've got a problem. It's a drug addiction problem. But the Republican believes that the drug addict needs to push himself more toward the cure. Same thing, right?
And a Democrat believes that a drug addict, they don't have the cure nearby.
Exactly. The cure is not put close enough to the drug addict. Now, you got to know a little bit about how things work in America, especially when it comes to food and drugs. And in that particular argument, I also would favor the Democrats. And I'll tell you why. I know a little something about it. I happen to know that the pharmacology is there that could help. And I mean drugs that could help alcoholics and drug addicts. It's very expensive. It's very, very expensive. Okay? And there's nothing in place right now to get this to people. There is no real aggressive move toward, let's get this stuff tested. It's 2 years between the time a drug is developed and the time the FDA approves it. 2 years, man. Now, I'm not saying those are two wasted years, but I would like to know as a consumer why.
What about what?
About why it is a drug is developed and it takes it 2 years before it gets approved by the FDA.
Maybe it ain't no good.
If it ain't no good, then why does it take 2 years to figure out it ain't no good?
Maybe there's drugs ahead of it.
Maybe there's a lot of red tape. Have you thought about that?
Matt, you're thinking like a Democrat now.
I'm thinking like a Democrat. Whoa, that's interesting. How am I thinking like a Democrat?
Well, you want to get drugs for free to people.
Wait a second. I thought that's a Republican problem.
What is?
All the red tape, all the bureaucracy, man. Ain't that a Republican thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Then you Republicans, 2 years between the time a drug's developed, the time the FDA approves it, why isn't it faster? Why aren't you guys working harder to get that drug developed, to get that drug approved or not approved, so we can get some of these drugs into the hands of people who are suffering from these horribly degenerating diseases, like alcoholism, like drug addiction, like a lot of things. We all know it's about the chemistry of the brain, and there's pharmacology developed all the time.
I don't know what you mean by pharmacology.
Drugs for the head, man. Drugs for the head, baby.
Talking about LSD.
No, I'm not. Why'd you say that?
Because you're all going, man. Hey, man. Hey, man. You're all like, man.
Get out of here, you clown. So there, I just gave you my economic lesson.
I got that, you know, I like working on a Phil Henry show because you'll tell stuff about, you know.
Yeah.
I'll tell stuff about what, bud?
Just, you know, tell, by the way you say it, though, you'll talk about it, you know.
Yeah, okay. That's.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. What did you say?
No, just talk about how you say, the time you talk about everything.
Uh-huh.
But that's what I like. Yeah, I mean, I like it too.
Yeah, okay.
What?
Never mind, man. I don't want to go any further. I'm taking that as a compliment. I'll take it, and that's a groovy thing. All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more on this News and Information Hour. Any other questions for you guys?
No, I'm good.
All right, we'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Right, man. I just think it's good, man. You know? Yeah, no, that's, thank you.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Wait,
what? You
want to
know?
Hold on for a minute. I've got to turn a fan. Yeah, David, what's going on?
Why didn't you finish with the pack? You were talking about a Pakistani.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, finish it, will you? You're sitting there talking to Bud and Rob. I don't know what the hell it was you guys were talking about. I'm sitting there with one of my clients. This guy, hold on. I'm going to talk. Just a second. I got a Pakistani.
What?
I'm sitting with a Pakistani.
I can't hear you, man.
I'm not going to yell it. I got a Pakistani broad with a client.
Yeah?
She wants another SSRI.
What's that got to do with her being a client?
Well, don't you want an advertiser?
Well, what's she going to sell?
Oh, get a load of you. What, are you afraid you're going to have to sell curried rice or something? She happens to own a men's clothing store, okay? Mr. India First. And
I didn't say that, man. I was just curious what was the thing.
And if it wasn't good enough, were you going to tell me just to go ahead and pound sand that I'm on my own with this packy? No way.
Will you watch it with the packy? God almighty, David. That's going to get back to her.
She don't even listen to your show. I'm down, you know.
Oh, well. I guess I'm lucky, huh?
Are you going to do a whole big thing with me right now? I got a packy on the line. It's going to be.
What?
I said I got a packy on the line. And she's going to do the do.
if this is about you getting laid...
Boy, you got some kind of a filthy mouth on you. Are you on the air?
No, I'm not on the air. You just heard me on the air, but no, I'm not.
All right, okay, so you're on the air. Why don't you finish with the Pakistan story, and then you and I can talk after the show about all the filth that you want to talk about. Get all the dirty, filthy details.
Well, what are you going...
Because I didn't, because Ms. Gray said to me that I yelled too much and I wanted to use her technique, you know.
Which is whispering even though people can turn the radio up.
I don't, look, I'm just, will you just listen to me?
This is Mickey. Okay? Phil, are you there?
Yes, I'm here!
What are you doing for?
I'm trying to keep it low, will you just, okay?
What?
Don't yell! Yeah, I'll be right there in a minute. I'll be right there. Yeah, it's beautiful, Connie. Her name's Connie. That doesn't sound like a Pakistani name, but I think she probably shortened it from Kamandutula Papapa. You know, I don't know. But anyway, what I'm saying, are you hearing me?
I can hear you, David. Hurry it up, man, okay? Time's burning, all right? Time's money.
Oh, okay. Yes, sir, J.P. Mr. J. Paul Getty. Yes, sir.
Why are you dropping down into that Debbie Daly voice?
Because I don't want to hear me. I'm just trying to say that the Pakistani... You know what I mean, Becky, right?
Yes.
Okay. When you don't mean that, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And packing is kind of, yeah, you're right. Got to hold my ashes.
You got to hold your what?
My ashes.
Okay. Then you just said the F word.
No, I did not. What did you
say? Hang up on him, will you, before I go nuts?
That was the stupidest thing what I ever did here.
Yeah. Anyway, this is for Mr. Hall's date, Connie. Here's the story, Connie. I just blew it for him.
Oh, man, he's going to flip his lid.
Finishing up the Pakistan. What is with him anyway?
What do you mean?
Well, you're a Miss Gray, and she whispered a lot of stuff. He thought that pretty good technique.
Yeah, I mean, we tried to talk him out of it.
We did.
Well, he just sounded like about 300 yards of jackball there. All right, what are you laughing at, bud?
300 yards of jackball.
All right. Anyway, under Pakistani law that forbids desecration of the Quran, a girl could get, you know, 85 billion years and lashed with a wet noodle or something. But Paul Bhatti, who heads Pat... Paul, huh? Get a load of that.
Pretty high-class name for a Pakistani.
Anyway, yeah, Paul. Paul Bhatti, who heads Pakistan's Ministry of National Harmony. What the hell is that? Predicted that the girl would be released within a day from the high-security adult prison in near Rawalpindi. Oh, Rawalpindi, that's a very famous... Pakistan. Don't you use that word just because he does. Where she's been held. Muslim leaders across Pakistan have united against this type of discrimination that is targeting the Christian community, Bhatti said in an interview. I'm very hopeful for that and very happy that justice has prevailed. Well, that's very nice.
Yeah, I mean, that's too bad it happened in the first place, though.
But you see, that's what a push toward democracy brings about. That's what a push, giving the people a voice. Look at that. Those aren't radical nutcase, Islamists. Those are people, man. They're people who just happen to have a religion called Islam, and they are united to help save this Christian girl. Maybe they need to amend their law over there, man.
Yeah, it sounds pretty stupid, man. You go,
yeah, put her in prison for what? Having a burnt page in a garbage can?
It was the Quran. That would be like if you burned the Bible.
You know, a lot of people want to kill you for that, though.
There may be. See, that's the thing. In America, there's a separation of church and state to the point that even if I burned a Bible and there were people that wanted to kill me for that, they, not me, they would go to jail. Because in our society, not only have we separated church and state, but we recognize, quite frankly, the burning of paper... Even if the words on it are of the Word of God, we can make a lot more Bibles than we can, quite frankly, people. All right. In the past, officials have been reticent about speaking out against the blasphemy laws, but this case is unusual not only because of the girl's age, but because of the reports that she is mentally disabled. Malik, who delivered a report on the case to the Pakistani Senate on Friday, said that although the defendant is 14, her mental state is 7 years old, and she hasn't the mental capacity beyond that of beyond a child of that age. After word of her alleged crime spread through the mixed Muslim-Christian community where her family lives, a mob threatened to burn the girl alive. Good God. Police later said they arrested her for her own safety. Last week, the imam of the neighborhood mosque was arrested after a witness accused him of mixing pages of a Quran into the bag of ashes that the girl carried. Christian residents said he planted the evidence as part of a campaign to get Christians to leave the community. Several hundred have fled since the girl's arrest. What they see, this is the kind of bullcrap, backward jazz, and I don't really care. I don't really care. But this stuff gets into the American press, gets into the press of the West because of the fact the girl's a Christian.
You mean she's just another religion? Nobody cares.
Well, I mean, we're not talking about some in America. You know, there's nobody up there saying, aha, report that, because the Ministry of Information wants you to only report about Christians. It's of interest to people in the West. Why the hell do you think I'm talking about it? There wasn't no...
What about, Jewish people controlling the media?
There ain't no Jewish people controlling the media. No, nobody told me to read that story. I did. Why? Because I figured it would be of interest to a Western Christian audience. Yes! The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry, for your ultimate edification, enjoyment, education, and like that. The content is solely my own, blah, blah, blah. Don't forget the Milwaukee Lions on Monday starting at 1 p.m. Central Time at Phil TV and HD on Wang Radio. All right. Till then, let that be a lesson to you. Have a great weekend, you guys.
Yeah, you too.
Whatever that means.
Phil Hendry.